honest information about living a healthy lifestyle on RadioMD.com. It's time for Naturally Savvy with natural visionary Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis.
My 10-year-old daughter seems to have junk food on the brain way too much. She'll wake us up at 5:30 in the morning and start talking about some ice cream she didn't get at school because she knows it has artificial flavors and I wouldn't want her to, but her best friend got it and she's jealous and please, mommy, please. And I'm like, it's 5:30 in the morning. I really don't want to talk about artificial flavored ice cream. But it just seems to be in our culture. There's just this bombardment of junk food everywhere. So thank goodness to the rescue. We've got Gabrielle Welch. She is the author of The Pizza Trap, Every Mom's Guide to Breaking Children's Dangerous Food Addictions, Ending Mealtime Battles, and Building Healthy Habits for Life. Hello there, Gabrielle. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, it's so nice to have you on the show. I'd love for my daughter to wake up and say, Mommy, I'd really love to have a big salad. Now, of course, that's, you know, that's
being a little dream.
But Gabrielle, tell us about yourself and when you first got interested in helping families live a healthy lifestyle.
You know, I, like you, I have three young daughters, so I live really in the trenches every day. And we went through that phase as well where they were waking up and asking for things that I definitely did not want to feed them. So, you know, I really started this journey. My eldest daughter had quite a few different health issues when she was born, and we decided that to get her better, we were going to have to take some traditional routes, meaning, you know, no medicine, nothing out of a bottle, but really trying to heal her through what she was eating. And it really just brought many things to my awareness that that I didn't know and wasn't taught growing up, although I will say, you know, I do credit my parents to doing the best they could. And but we live in a different food culture now where there's so much accessibility for children. They see it really everywhere they go, you know, anywhere from the concession stands to the movie theater to church. And so it's really, really difficult to get in front of them more than they see junk food.
Yes. And you know what? I have three kids myself, and I laugh at the title of your book because in The Pizza Trap, I mean, literally, pizza is always that go-to meal that we want to give our kids because it's easy and it's one of the things that we know our kids love, right? So give us some ideas of what are some of the, you know, other options. Or just tell us, I guess, how you do it and what are some other options that we could go to. And so instead of it being the pizza trap, maybe it's like Lisa said, the salad trap, right? Wouldn't that be good? That would be a good one.
Absolutely. You know, this is one of the things that I tell my clients, and many of my clients are young children because I do teach cooking classes to kids,
awesome.
You know, ages about 10 to 15. And I tell them as well as their parents, you can make a really healthy, very tasty 20-minute meal, period. Even at 12, 13 years old, these kids can be in the kitchen helping their parents make dinner or literally making the dinner themselves by that age. And so I think you have to have, you know, five or six of these really easy 20-minute meals kind of in your arsenal that you can pull out, because we all know as parents, you know, we live in a crazy busy world. We are on the go all the time. And whether you're in a, you know, a dual income, dual working home, or the, you know, it's just the mom working at home driving carpool, you know, at 6 o'clock at night, the last thing you feel like doing is sitting down and making, you know, a five-course French dinner for your family.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that
you know,
is
my
so true.
My suggestion. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say. Well, I'd love to hear your suggestion, and then I was going to ask a little bit about school lunches. But go ahead and finish your thought on that.
Well, so I think that the key is to be organized, to plan, to take one day of the week if you can, like a Sunday evening, where you sit down and look at your schedule. And figure out, okay, these are the nights that I know that I'm going to need to have, you know, a meal really planned ahead of time. And what does that look like? And does that incorporate, you know, 3 to 4 healthy vegetables to make up what I call a rainbow plate? And, you know, luckily, many times children prefer raw vegetables to cook vegetables. So, you know, you can serve 2 or 3 different types of crunchy, you know, kids love crunch, things on their plate. Like my children love the red, yellow, and orange sliced bell peppers. You know, those are an easy, easy default go-to, also easy to throw in a Ziploc bag and take with you in the car when you're running between different sports events.
Yeah, that's true. I love, my daughter loves bell peppers. But I'd love to talk a little bit about school lunch. I just think it's, I have this horrible guilt. Some days I pack, but she begs me to buy school lunch because her friends buy school lunch and she wants to fit in. So I say, okay. No, and then she'll tell me what she has for school lunch and I'll be like, why did I let her buy school lunch? So help me and everybody else.
It's like, Mom, I had a lemonade and 5 cookies for school lunch today.
Oh, God.
And you think, why? You know, I think this is a challenge that we're facing really right now as a nation with our children. You were not alone in being concerned about that. Mm-hmm. And I know that nationally and statewide, people are really, really standing up as advocates. A lot of parents and trying to get, you know, better food served and available for our children in the hot lunch line, you know, and it's all about choices, too. When you send your child with a healthy lunch to school and they show up and they are serving ice cream and they do have access to sodas or, you know, lots of different sugary and salty packaged snacks, it's very difficult for, you know, a young child, especially in elementary school, to make that choice of eating, you know, what you've packed them that's nutritious and not, you know, stepping over to the sugary, salty foods, because as we know now, you know, sugar is really a drug. And so it's really about educating our children, not only, you know, providing them with the healthy lunch, but explaining to them from an early age why it's important, you know, and how it's going to help their performance on their math test, you know, as well as how they play on the athletic field.
You know, and I think Lisa makes a good point, because I know even for my daughter, I mean, I'll make her lunch here or we'll make her lunch here and she'll go and she'll be like, ugh, I don't like it. But yet if it's served at school through like the lunch lady and, you know, it's the same thing, but it tastes better there and she'll eat it there, which is, you know, it just makes me laugh. Right. So sometimes what would be great is if the schools actually offered non-GMO organic lunches. Right. But then people are going to complain about the price. So it's one of those things that it's finding that balance between giving kids what they like to eat, what they want to eat, and also how we're going to get them to eat it. You know?
Well, that's right, and it's what they're used to. And you know, talking about the price, I absolutely agree. However, you know, I feel given the opportunity, you know, we have to vote with our wallets. And mm-hmm. there are many, many options now at places where, you know, it is affordable, Costco, Walmart, where they do offer organic food and they do offer non-GMO mm-hmm. foods that are, they are coming down in price. And if we shop seasonally, you know, and buy local foods, the price will come down as well. So I do think as a nation we're heading that way and we're heading towards a tipping point. I think if we speak up and stand up as parents and really show that it's important to us and that we do want it by purchasing it, those items will become more and more accessible. I think I saw a number recently quoted that the amount of organic foods that will be purchased in 2014, I think, is that the dollar amount is $134 million spent on organics. So it's definitely climbing, you know, exponentially every year.
Oh, for sure. And it's gotten so much more recognition. And now with all the ballots of the non-GMO ballot, like voting for GMO labeling, I mean, I think
Absolutely.
People are becoming more aware. Yeah,
Absolutely.
People are becoming more aware.
Mm-hmm. Well, and with the rising issues in, you know, the 4 A's, allergies, asthma, you know, autism, all the different things that we have going on that are now tying back to foods. You know, I think that once that connection is made and once people realize, you know, that they can heal their children and keep their children well through organic foods and non-GMO, I think they're going to see, you know, an incredible change there as well.
You know, I always like to quote Maya Angelou, Dr. Maya Angelou, when we know better, we do better, right? And that this is like a perfect example of when we know better, we do better. And people are catching on. So, well, thanks for being on our show, Gabrielle. What a breath of fresh air. Thank you for hanging with us today.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You can learn more about Gabrielle at WelchWellness.com. You could also follow her on Twitter at Welch Wellness. I'm Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. And if you'd like to listen to some other shows of ours, you can go on to radiomd.com/naturallysavvy and you can listen to all of our amazing shows. Thanks for listening, everyone, and have a beautiful day and stay well.